Let's go ahead and get started. I know there's a few more people who are expected, but we'll let them kind of drift in as they get here.
I just want to thank you guys for being in the front row over there. We haven't bitten anybody yet. Obviously, we put the podium here so everybody cleared out of there. I guess where the late people have to go.
Let's start by dedicating the day to the Lord in prayer. Would you bow with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here together today to discuss this topic of modesty and the time between childhood and marriage and how we can help to prepare our children as well as adults to set a good example for our children and for others in these important areas. I just pray, Lord, that as we address these issues that you would just be our teacher this morning and that you would be glorified by anything that is said or done here today. I thank you so much for the people who are here. Thank you for their hearts of desiring to do what you want them to do and to live a more holy life. Father, I pray for all of us as fellow learners here in this time that you would just be our teacher, that you'd encourage us and give us a roadmap for what lies ahead and help us to see that you walk every step of the way with us. So we dedicate our day to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, just a little bit about us. Many of you kind of know a little bit about who we are. My name is Steve Lewis, and Vicki and I have been married almost 30 years. This coming May 31st, we celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary, which we don't look that old, do we?
No.
Anyway.
I'm just glad. Thank you, Lord.
We were not Christians when we were first married, and we came to know the Lord about 5 years into our marriage during a kind of a rough spot, and the Lord postponed our having children until after we came to know him. And so our firstborn, Amanda, was born at about that time and followed quickly thereafter by three boys. In the blue jacket is Jonathan, who's the audiovisual expert in the back. Next
Thanks,
to Jonathan,
Jonathan
is Timothy, who's the handout expert there.
Thanks, Tim.
And, of course, Peter down here in the corner. And unfortunately, he has kind of had the flu, and he's not feeling well, so we're going to let him just park wherever he feels comfortable today. So, but that's us. We do have a dog as well named Penny, so if you're interested in Penny the pug, you can talk to us about her later. But that's a little bit about who we are. What we'd like to do is kind of lay a foundation first for where we're going throughout the day. We want to tell you from our own personal experience, particularly over the last year, but it's stretched on longer than that, but several things kind of came to a head last year, and God began to show us some things that we felt were important enough to kind of put down on paper. The reason that we're up here today doing this is not because we are the experts, we've done everything right. No, I'm sorry, you're not looking at people like that. In fact, some of the things that we're sharing with you today probably have come out of our failures. But as one person once said, some of our greatest messages come out of our greatest failures. And so we're just kind of up here sharing from our experience and hoping that God can use the places we've gone and where you're at to kind of, you know, help us all to move forward in a better direction. So that's kind of our goal today. In these folders, we have the first chunk of handouts for you. The handouts for the first part of the day are in there. And what we've done is we've taken the slides from the screen up here. So what you'll have in your handout is actually what we're going to be going through on the slides with some room to take some notes if you'd like to. And then when we come back for the next group of sections, we'll hand out the next chunk of paper to you, and you can add those to your notebook. Feel free, if you'd like to go ahead and put those into the three-ring binder part of that packet if you want. Let's see, there's actually, just so you know, there's at least three sets of handouts that we're going to be giving you today. So, okay.
we had at least three purposes that we wanted to share with you today. The first one was to share with Christian parents a vision for training their children in the practical area of purity for life. And we realized it started young, and it actually goes through the rest of our lives. These are going to be topics, even though we've been married for 30 years, there's still things that apply to our marriage as well as what we're sharing with our children. So I thought we were just going to take like a chunk around just getting married, but it's zoomed down to the younger ages and zoomed up. So we're covering all ages, and both boys and girls and men and women. To suggest ways for families to deal with issues of heart attitude, standards of appearance and behavior, and preparation for future marriage and family life. We've talked to a lot of families that they sit down and start discussing hemlines and whether they're too short. They're never too long. But whether they're too short at 16, it's way too late to start that. It's just going to be a setup for arguing. And if you lay a different kind of foundation, I think we can head off some of those disagreements. And lastly, although this isn't our primary mission, because there are other ministries that do this far better than we can, is to encourage Christian young people to strive for a high standard of integrity and purpose in their lives. About a year ago, we were asked to consider, I think our original title was Romance Coordinator. We had several people that signed up. I don't know what they thought we were going to be doing. And we were praying about it at the time and thought, well, we had tried to be aware of this time period, to plan diligently for it, and we found out through some events last summer that we weren't at all prepared. We had some huge pieces that were just sort of missing from our game plan entirely. And so I went to Steve and said, there's no way we can do this coordinator thing to try to bring resources to our support group families on modesty and purity in marriage, because we've obviously missed the boat on some big pieces here. And then I thought, if we had tried hard to be prepared and we still were having, you know, didn't have the whole game plan ready to go, or a better game plan, if not the whole, you know, 100%, how about parents out there that haven't even thought about it or are even less prepared than we were? I just thought I didn't want anybody floundering. I didn't like how it felt to say this is such an important area. It's so critical. And we seem so ill-prepared to do this. And we have high hopes and expectations, and then I don't know how to get there. I'm a person that it sounds wonderful that, you know, we're heading, you know, downtown, but I want to know exactly, you know, what my choices are and ways to turn and ways to go. And I'd like to avoid the detours and avoid the potholes and that kind of thing. So we thought back on how God has taught us and our kids. We really started making a diligent effort to teach our kids starting at 3 or 4. And that was why we tried to make this seminar, don't just come with teens and don't just come with that age group in mind. We wanted everybody to hear this, because if you've got older kids, you need to hear what comes underneath. If you have younger kids, you need to prepare well so you'll be up and running at the end of the spectrum. So God showed us that the process began with modesty, and our passion and our vision for this has really grown this year. We've worked as a team, as a family, and God has continued to teach us what he felt was really important. So we'll have an evaluation at the end of the day, and we would love to hear your comments. So if you go through the day, very often when I take notes, I'll star something, which means I want to go back to it, like this is important. Or if you have comments or things that you would like to see us do or change, would you please let us know, because we would really value your input.
One of the things that we have thought about as we looked at this topic and preparing for the teen years is these typical teen topics, like modesty of dress and behavior for girls, purity of thought and action, dangers of the dating mentality, sexual purity, and preparation for marriage. And we were looking for resources. As you've seen on the book table, we've ended up acquiring lots of stuff. Our philosophy of life is that whenever we have a problem, we have to go find a book that has been written about this problem. And we have books stacked everywhere in our home.
That's the strength.
So we've brought some resources that you're welcome to look for. We realize that books aren't always the answer to everything. But for us, it's a good starting place. We just kind of have that mentality. And we began finding books on modesty or integrity or dating or sexual purity or marriage prep or courtship or various kinds of topics like this. And as we looked at all those things, we, oh, this is really good, and oh, there's something good here, and we realized it was kind of fragmented, kind of compartmentalized, I guess is the word we used here. And God began to help show us that instead of this kind of disjointed view of all these different topics, that all these things were related. And so instead of a kind of a disjointed or compartmentalized view, we began to think of these topics more like pearls on a string. We started to see them on a continuum. And when I say we, I mean all of us. Mandy was very instrumental in helping to say, you know what, this actually is a foundation for that, isn't it? And we began to think along those lines. So we've got this little illustration here of kind of pearls on a string, but at the bottom you'll also see kind of a continuum here that's a gradient from light yellow going all the way out to dark yellow. We had seen quite a bit of material on modesty for young girls. We also saw a lot of material on physical purity, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and other kinds of things like that, and several things on marriage preparation at the far end of the spectrum. One of the big gaps, I think, for us was the area of emotional purity, which we began to see was crucial in this whole process. So what we'd like to do today is to kind of walk you through our thinking process here so you can kind of see what we saw as being related. And obviously, like we said, we're not the experts on this, but we felt like this was a good way to look at it, because we could look at not only our children's lives, but even our lives as adults, and be able to say, you know, these kinds of topics really are stages that we all have to go through and understand in order to be godly parents and teenagers. So we'd like to start out on the next one with some definitions.
I get to do all the definitions. This is kind of fun. I think the concept of purity is it's something we all strive for, but it, at the same time, it's kind of nebulous. So, you know, I want to be pure, but what does that mean? So this is the definition we came up with, and see what you think. Purity is demonstrating our reverence for God's holiness by the way in which we live. And I liked that it took us back to God. That's going to be our foundation for the rest of our lives as Christians. And it's very important that because God is holy, as we become more Christ-like, we become more holy as well. And one of the areas we saw this affecting was purity. Reverence means to regard with fear, mingled with respect and affection. So it wasn't being afraid. It wasn't the rules and regulations kind of side of things. But saying, you died for me, you gave the ultimate sacrifice, what I want to do is live for you. I want to be holy for you. So we like the term reverence. Holiness is God's perfect integrity of moral character, his freedom from any hint of sin. And as humans, we're never going to be free from a hint of sin. But we can come close, and that's with the Lord's help.
It applies to men and women, and it applies to children and teens and adults. And so the top two boxes, men need to focus on becoming godly leaders who emphasize honoring femininity and exemplifying a masculine standard of purity. And women need to focus on exercising their influence in appropriate ways and communicating a feminine standard of purity. For children, character is formed at a very young age, and so they need to build a standard of purity into their character. And we're going to talk about it's not so much learning skills or talents as it is allowing God to conform your character, to being conformed to the image of Christ. So we're going to talk a lot about character also today. At the teenage level, their knowledge is put into practice, and they increasingly take personal responsibility for their own lives. As much as Steve and I wanted to pour things of value into our children's lives, at some point they get to make their own decisions, and they will stand or fall on that. And I would like to see them make only the right choices, only I know I didn't make only the right choices either. So at some point, we're going to give them everything we can and lay a foundation, and then we're going to say, you will need to make your own choices. And we will all live by those choices. All those choices and the results will affect all of us. as a family. Adult standards of purity must be practiced throughout life, and you are also role models for the children and younger people and all the other adults in your life. We really wanted to talk about purity as at a certain age, but it became evident that the things that we want to teach our children are things that we need to remember all of our life. We recently attended a wedding, and we kind of thought, well, you know, all of this that we're talking about today for that couple is sort of done. Now they're entering another phase of their life in marriage. And yet I thought everything that we've understood about modesty and emotional purity and physical purity will also apply to them in their marriage relationship, because they can only have a relationship with their spouse. And part of our testimony as a couple has been with marriages. We've done a lot of work with marriages that we've really loved doing. And so we've been aware of a lot of couples who have struggled with both emotional and physical purity within their marriage. So these are things that we all need to know for the rest of our lives. And there will be a time when possibly one of us is no longer married to each other because of the death of one of us. And then again, we'll be going back to that same stage we learned as an adolescent about what emotional and physical purity are like. So that gives you an idea that we're not just here talking about 16 to 18 in courtship. We're going to move the boundaries way up, way down, and everybody's included. Pray that God would give you eyes to see and ears to hear and a teachable spirit as we go to, through today, particularly applying things to your family. We're not able to do that. We can give you ideas and guidelines, but it's the Holy Spirit's job to put these things on your heart on how it looks like, what it looks like in your life and what it looks like in your family. And that we trust Him to do.
Well, let's talk about some of the high points that we've covered so far this morning. The issue of purity applies to people of all ages throughout life. I think what you just said about purity even after marriage is crucial. In a society today when even Christian marriages are hurting and breaking up, we especially need to emphasize this in our families and have kind of a long-term vision of what physical purity and emotional purity look like. We'll elaborate on this as we go throughout the morning here, and particularly in the afternoon when we focus in on what these last parts of the continuum really are. They're built on a foundation, and we really need to understand that. We can't just wait until our daughter turns 16, for example, and say, okay, no more of this kind of bathing suit. And it's like, wait a second, where did that rule come from? You know, so we wanted to kind of take a look at it from more of a long-term perspective.
I also think that there's a huge emphasis in homeschooling families to have a multi-generational view of what we're doing. And in order to equip that, in order to make that happen, it isn't just going to be passing on academics. It's going to be passing on the kind of moral character that will keep families and couples intact. Because Satan is really targeting homeschool families. He'd like to take every marriage down in flames, and he'd like to take every teenager out, because he knows you're our hope for the future. You're in the next generation. And so if he can stop us dead in the water at our marriage, stop you dead in your Christian testimony as a young person of whatever age, he's going to do it. Okay? And so we've got to be well prepared to withstand that. So I love the idea that in homeschooling circles, almost every time I hear certain speakers, they talk about a multi-generational view, and my heart goes pitter-pat, and I think it's wonderful. And then I sit back when I go home and go, but what's that going to look like? What can I do now to be ensuring that kind of a future? Should the Lord tarry, I'm praying for us to be able to communicate to our children, almost like a baton in a relay race. I want to pass on this morality to our children so that they're equipped to pass it on to our grandchildren, and they're equipped to pass it on to their children as many times as it needs to happen before the Lord comes back for us. And so it's a hugely important kind of a thing. And I know so many families who are struggling with dropped batons. And we've had dropped batons in our own background. So that's why we've tried to give you a vision and also to make it as practical as we can today.
Let's take a look at an action list from some of the things that we've talked about. Just when we look at the foundation, for fathers and mothers, what are some of the things that you probably are going to want to think about and focus on? Obviously, you want your children to be conformed to the image of Christ. You want them to be godly young people who can carry on. And in order to do that, you're going to need a practical plan to teach godly character. And we need to be working on this now. It's not something we can wait on until a certain age or a certain event happens. For sons and daughters, for you guys in the room who are young people, you've got it in your mind probably, you want to be the godliest young man or woman that you possibly can. And in order to do that, you're going to need a practical plan. How am I going to become the godly young woman or man that I know Jesus wants me to be? And you probably realize, I need to start working on this now. Whatever I'm doing now needs to be preparing me for that eventual goal. So these are some of the ideas that you're going to want to kind of take with you. And I've heard it said that you want to put feet on them. Put feet on these ideas so that you can figure out how to do them, how to walk away with those things in practice, and make it a reality in your life. We have a family activity now. And one of the things we wanted to stress on this one is some people might be sitting there and thinking, oh no. But we want to say that you don't have to come up with a plan right now, this very moment, on the spot. Okay, tell me your plan. We want you to just kind of think about some ways that God might have you take some steps in the direction He wants you to go. And, you know, we don't know what direction that is for you. That's something that you and the Lord are going to have to work out. But so often we get so busy, don't we? And life just takes over. I heard one pastor say once that the problem with life is it's just so daily. And, you know, it really is the daily activities that bury us sometimes. And you know how the good things we're doing every day can sometimes get in the way of the best things, the things we probably should be focusing on a little bit. And so we'd like to give you some time as we start this morning just to kind of think through some things and begin by praying together as a family. If you're here with a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter, clump together and pray. If you're here by yourself and you couldn't bring your husband or kids with you, then maybe you could scoop up a friend and kind of form a little two or three person prayer dot. And just pray for wisdom in developing a plan for building purity into the lives of everyone in your family. And in your handout, I believe there is a little activity sheet that kind of walks you through some things. And what we'd like to do now is we'd like to give you about 15 minutes or so just to kind of have a time to pray together and just talk with each other about some of the things on this list. You don't have to answer every single question. This isn't a workbook like you do at home school where you have to fill in all the blanks, okay? Pick the things that seem most relevant to you right now, okay? And take some time just to kind of talk about some of those things. Get everybody's input. And just kind of open the door. What we'll do when we come back is we'll begin talking about the very first level of this foundation, something that we'd like to build on top of for the rest of our lives. And so take about 10 or 15 minutes to share with each other, and then please feel free to grab some refreshments or use the restrooms out here, and then we'll meet back here at 10 o'clock to start the next session.